Hey gang, let's face it, you're probably listening to this show and all of your other shows on your phone. Are you tired of filling up your phone with all your favorite podcasts? Well, you stream your movies and you stream your music, why not stream your podcasts? Try Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is an app that allows you to stream over 30,000 shows right to your smartphone or pad. Get the very best in news, comedy, entertainment, science, and sports delivered right to your phone or pad. Simply download it for free at Stitcher.com or find it in your app store. I use it and I love it. That's Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Start streaming. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I have a great show for you guys today. I have Panther McDonald from the Brooklyn band Bootblacks, Sky Nico from the French band Liste Noire. They are on tour together right now in the United States. Liste Noire and Bootblacks on tour together. They just did it over in Europe, and now they're doing a little run in the States. I have a great conversation with Panther and Nico via Skype when I got home from Houston the other day. And they both have new albums out. Bootblacks has an album out called Veins. You can find them at bootblacks.net. And Liste Noire has a new album called Brace. And you can find them at listenoire.tv. Okay? Great bands. And great guys. And we have a fantastic conversation. As I said, they are on tour in the United States right now. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, November 2nd, they'll be playing in New York City at Nothing Changes. Friday, November 2nd, they'll be in Portland, Oregon at the High Water Mark. Saturday, November 5th, they'll be in San Francisco at the Hemlock Tavern. Sunday, November 6th, they will be in Los Angeles at the Complex. So go to bootblacks.net or listenoire.tv for all your needs. And enjoy our conversation. We have a great conversation via Skype. I got home from Houston the other day. I was a little tired, but I was really stoked to talk to these bands because I'd been listening to their music all the way back from Houston. And I just really love their music, you know? It's awesome to hear synths and drum machines and rock and roll and really great songs. Like, they're both great songwriters. Liste Noire covers one of my very favorite Roxy Music songs. A song for Europe on their album, Brace. Anyway, we have a great conversation. That's coming up in just a second. Let me tell you what's going on with me. As I said, I played like three shows this weekend. Thursday, we played a private show here in Austin. Friday, we played a private show in Houston, like outside of Houston at a rich person's house that had a gymnasium that was about the size of about five regular houses that was off to the side of the gigantic, enormous house with a waterfall pool thing. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. People wore costumes to this house party. It was out kind of in the middle of nowhere, and people had a blast. Anyway, woke up the next morning in Houston and went to my little cousin Elena's soccer game at like 8 a.m. Got to the soccer game right as it was about to start. And watching a bunch of five-year-olds play soccer at 8 in the morning, absolutely fantastic. I never laughed so hard. I was never so inspired and excited to see these little guys running around and having such a great time, especially Elena. Then we all went to my grandma's house, hung out with my aunts and my cousins, and then my cousin Christopher came over with his three kids, and the kids put on a play. We had a one-year birthday party for my littlest cousin, Wyatt. It was a lot of fun. It was great to see the family. Then that night, we played a Halloween party that we play every year in Houston, which is a lot of fun. It's called The Bash. And it benefits the Easter Seals Foundation. And people come dressed up to the T. Like, that's one of those Halloween parties that, like, rich people come. But, like, rich people that like to party and can spend a lot of money on their costumes. Nobody looks half-assed at this thing. Everybody's over the top. Saw this couple that made a giant wall, like the Trump-Mexico wall. Like, it was a wall that was probably, like, 8 feet tall and about 10 feet wide, okay? And they were on stilts behind the wall, kind of like Mexican people looking over it. And it was pretty funny. It was on wheels, and they had someone that was rolling it around. They were very funny. I saw a lot of crazy costumes, a lot of people acting out of the norm. I saw a guy that was passed out in the hallway, when we were coming back to play our third set, walking down the hallway from the backstage into the ballroom, there was a guy just sitting in a chair, totally fucking passed out. Too much party for that guy. People starting to fall down there at the end. I don't know. Look, man, it's funny. It's funny when that happens sometimes. Then, of course, Sunday, I came back, did the conversation on Skype with Nico from List Noir and Panther from Boot Blacks. Great conversation, man. Great guys. I think you guys should get out if you live in New York, Portland, San Francisco, or Los Angeles. Get out and see these guys. They're playing this week, starting tomorrow, man. They'll be in New York City tomorrow night at Nothing Changes. Go to bootblacks.net and listnoir.tv for all of your touring needs from these guys. Get out there and see them. Great bands, great music. Listen to their music. We're going to play a song from Boot Blacks called South Pole from their album Veins, going in and coming out of the conversation. And then at the end of the show, we'll play a song called Glycerin from the album Brace by the band List Noir, okay? So whatever you're doing, I hope you're having a great week. I want to remind you that Friday night, my band, Lady Band Johnson, me, Kathy Valentine, Dominique Davalos, and Christina Comley, we're playing at the Continental Club here in Austin. We go on at about 11. Monty Warden is playing before. He's a fantastic dude. And Ford, Maddox Ford, plays after us, okay? We go on at 11. And listen, if you're in New York, Portland, San Francisco, or Los Angeles, get out and see Boot Blacks and List Noir and enjoy our conversation. These are great guys, great bands, and we have a great Skype conversation. All right? Have a great rest of the week, whatever it is you're doing, and enjoy my conversation with Nico from List Noir and Panther from Boot Blacks. Let's get down. So you guys just toured together in Europe?
Earlier this year in March.
How did that go?
Yeah, April, yeah.
April? Yeah, it was great. We went to a couple new countries. Where did we go? I don't know. You're better at this.
We've done most of the center, east European countries, like Poland, Slovakia, and then Italy, France. A nice round.
Yeah.
Have you guys played in the States yet, or you start like tonight or something?
We played last night was the first U.S. show in Brooklyn.
How was that?
We live here, so it was the first show. We played in Montreal.
Oh, fantastic.
So we played in Montreal, and then the first U.S. show, I guess, would be yesterday.
Yeah.
And then we have shows in Portland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles starting after Thursday.
Right. And those are, just quickly to name these off, on November 2nd, you'll be in New York City at Nothing Changes. On November 4th, you'll be in Portland at the High Watermark. On the 5th of November, you will be at San Francisco at the Hemlock Tavern. And on the 6th of November, you'll be in Los Angeles at the Complex.
That's right.
I'm glad you know all this.
Yeah, I have it written down.
I'm laughing because I was like, oh my God, I don't even know if I know. That was good. Thanks.
So, your bands meet? Did your agents put you guys together in Europe and then you decided to do something here or something? Because Boot Blacks released their record on a French label there, right?
Yes, Manic Depression.
Okay. Are you guys label mates there?
No. I think we know each other just through kind of being in the same sort of music scene for quite some time, right?
So, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I think we've known each other socially at least for maybe 5 or 6 years. Okay. I was in another band called The Holy Kiss, and he was in another band called Velvet Condom.
Which, so by the way, is a great name, Velvet Condom.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Sorry, so go ahead.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, just kind of through that music scene and connection, we met, became friends, and then when it was time for Boot Blacks to tour, we asked them to go with us because, you know, we're friends and it'd be great. And it makes sense for our bands to play together as
Actually,
well.
Actually, we became friends since they were adding a lot of synths into their music.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't. Yeah. Just once the synths came, that's only.
Yeah, then suddenly it was, hey.
Yeah, you're just pretending to like us before, yeah.
Well, your music seems to go really well together. What? Yeah. How do you do this? Like when you play live, it's three guys, right? Your band mm-hmm. is three people, Boot Blacks?
Yes.
And do you guys play the tracks or anything, or how do you do that?
I think both of our bands are similar in the sense of that we don't have a bass player.
Okay.
So the bass player is a sequencer with, you know, triggered bass lines. And then we sort of, I mean, I guess that's why we're similar, because we kind of have a programmed rhythm section, and then there's, you know, guitar work and singing over the top. So...
Okay. Is there live drums too?
Yeah, we have live drums. They do not, but I think even our live drummer though plays electronic drum kit. So
okay.
Yeah, don't trust any human drummer, by the way.
Yeah.
Why don't you trust any human drummer?
You know, they're not reliable, and you know,
it's a strange personality. A person who wants to play the drums, but we like Rogers still. So.
Well,
that's
good.
The drummer.
Okay. The best drummer ever. Really, yeah. I must say, Roger is an awesome.
He's as close to a machine as you can get, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, do you guys both come from punk backgrounds? You come from a punk background, right, Panther?
Yeah. I mean, my parents were actually into punk rock in the 80s when I was born, so I've kind of always been around it for a long time. And then I definitely was into all sorts of different punk rock.
What scene of punk rock were they into? Like the 80s? Like,
yeah, you know, I mean, Ramones and Dead Kennedy and Misfits and Motorhead and
okay, like first wave kind of stuff.
Yeah, sure, because you know they're more than a generation older than I am, but I've always kind of been around it in a weird way. So yeah, and then I've been doing it since I was a teenager. But I think that this kind of music is punk as well. It's just a sort of part of that family tree.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. It was, I guess, you know, whatever. It's kind of punk I'm into now.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Los Angeles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you read that book that John Doe wrote about that punk scene? That new book that came out a couple months ago?
No.
Oh, it's really good. I think it's called Under a Big Black Sun.
Okay.
Yeah. You should check it out. I mean, it just explains the whole LA punk scene from like the late 70s, early 80s punk scene there. What about you? You're from what part of France are you from? Paris or?
Yeah, I'm from the east of France, like at the French-German border. So I grew up actually in both countries. I'm like bilingual European. I don't know. You name it. I come actually more from I'm an indie 90s kid, I would say. Then, I got hooked up by punk afterwards because, indie rock was kind of too soft to me. I needed something a bit more. And then I played in some glam punk band. We were kind of New York Dolls oriented, Manic Street Preachers, like early Manic Street Preachers stuff. And then I met Olivier, my bandmate and friend, and he introduced me into the machines and the synths and stuff. And then, I was definitely hooked up by this and tried to find a nice balance between guitars and machines.
Yeah.
Which is not that easy, actually, but I like it. I can't focus on just one.
I understand that. Were you influenced in some way by like the 70s art rock scene? Because you guys did a great cover of A Song for Europe, which is one of my favorite Roxy Music songs.
Oh, definitely. I'm a huge Roxy Music fan. And we wanted to do a Roxy Music cover. We already did with Velvet Cunham a Brian Eno cover. What was the name again?
Driving Me Backwards.
We did cover.
Oh, yeah.
And then we wanted to cover a Roxy Music song, but it's very difficult to find one that hasn't been covered that much and which you could do something completely different with.
Yeah.
And I found out actually later that Dave Gahan did a version of it already, and I didn't know, but it's really bad, I must say. Sorry for the Depeche Mode fans.
Are you guys Depeche Mode fans?
Yeah, I love you guys? Depeche Mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, we live in a country where Depeche Mode is a religion.
Yeah.
Germany, I mean, they just announced their Germany tour, and they play like stadium tours there, and it was sold out in 5 minutes. It's crazy. It's completely crazy.
Yeah, I love them. I think that, I don't know, Violator, I actually have like childhood memories that are connected with that record, and my parents used to also, again, really love that one. So that's, I don't know, I think that's like one of the records I listen to for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But so I love it. Yeah.
I have a question.
I mean, I like all the other ones too, but I don't know. It was definitely.
Is Depeche Mode something that is mainstream here in America?
Yes.
Yeah.
They hit a point with Violator, and then when they brought out the guitars, they started playing like. I mean, I saw them at like a pretty big outdoor shed. Here, like maybe, I guess it was a long time ago now, like maybe 15 years ago, but it was sold out and it was like, you know, probably like 15,000 people, 20,000 people.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, they play Madison Square Garden here in places that size. Yeah. Okay. But I think they're unique in the sense that a lot of that other people from that time and genre never had that sort of level of success in the U.S. The ones who kind of did it. So.
To me, that's the perfect reference for us, Depeche Mode, because that's exactly what we want to do. It's like doing good pop music, but with quality, and also the recording process of Depeche Mode is something very unique. Like they create every single sound.
They don't use factory presets.
No, they create
every sound they make.
Exactly, yeah.
That's brilliant. So do you guys use any, old analog synths in your set, or do you have to kind of run through some kind of computer program that has all the sounds in it or something? You know what I mean? Like a main stage or something like that.
I mean, for us, we use a MPC, we build the sounds and then we have to export the sounds into the MPC. So yes and no, in a sense that we like Nico saying, we try to do the same thing too. We're not using a preset, so we build the sound but then it's played through an MPC, which is nice though, because I do think even though it's pre-done, when it's the quality of the memory card gives it that sort of analog 80s, I don't know. It gives a little more life to it. It doesn't sound as sterile as some of the other stuff can be.
Right.
So,
well, Doug, go ahead, Nico.
It's not easy to find the right balance between how much backing tracks, pre-recorded stuff you use in a live show. But I guess we're pretty good at that, both bands, I must say. It's I wouldn't change anything for now.
Yeah, you don't want it to be too much like karaoke.
Right,
you know, where you're just playing. You're just playing. I don't. That's why. And no judgment, but we try to stay away from like the laptops and that kind of stuff, because it changes the character, the performance, and the sound. So we do the little extra work to load it in those old machines.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. And it seems like you guys, as far as like synthesizer influence, are more like pre-DX7.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like all the synths before 84 or whatever.
Yeah,
definitely. But I must say, I could give the DX7 a try now.
I had one for a while, and I used to run it through all my guitar pedals, and that was the only way it was kind of like somewhat cool.
Yeah,
just because those sounds are so weird, and I associate with them, with those sort of like mid '80s Chicago ballads, you know, by the band Chicago.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
So tell me about the songwriting process for you guys. Like, say, for instance, Panther, do you write on electronic instruments? Like, do you start like with a drum machine groove and kind of like start vibing out with something, or do you sit down and write a song like a? Or is it any way you can get it?
I've never in my entire life sat down and wrote a song. So what I'm saying is, like, when coming in with like a fully formed song and chord changes, we at least in our band we start with, because I do the bass playing, or what is the bass playing, the electronic stuff on the synth. So I usually try to come up with a bass line and then bring that in, and then Roger, our drummer, will just say like, we'll try all, allow, he writes his own parts, so he'll, you know, maybe I'll come in with an idea of what should go against it, but the reason I love playing with him is because he usually does something better than I was thinking of.
Right.
That's the collaborative part. And then we start adding the guitar or synth lead lines, and I think the song just kind of grows that way. So and then maybe we'll go back and make some edits, like make the bass line move a little bit more, or see if it, you know, make those decisions if it's getting busy. But I mean, for us, like, it's not like a, you know, I've never come in with a fully formed song. I like writing with my other bandmates, and so I would say the songs are each a third.
That's great.
Person, so it's pretty democratic that way for us.
That's awesome. You guys are about to go in and record a new album?
Yeah, we're writing the stuff now for it. So. And then, you know, when we have enough, when it feels like an album, then try to go knock it out.
Yeah. Do you write like the album, or do you have like, if you know, 20 to 50 songs that you go in with and kind of?
We usually try to have a ton of material, and then try to decide which ones are going to make it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. For us too, I mean, I'm kind of in the philosophy of music that there are like. There are songs for albums that sound great on a record, and there's some songs that sound great live. So sometimes you go in and record it, and it just doesn't feel the same, and vice versa. So you can, you know, have a song that sounds great on record, and you know, you play it right, but it's, I don't know, the song has a different character. So
yeah.
I don't know. We have to make kind of weird decisions when we go in, and sometimes that dictates what the album looks like in the end.
Do you work with a producer?
Yeah, the last album we did was with a guy, Brian Scott Herman, and that was our first time working with him, and that he was just, I don't know, sometimes it's harder to explain how you meet people. He's just a guy around, and it was the best experience I've ever had recording an album because, I don't know, we were on the same page with everything. And so we'll work with him again, but we're also, we have Hillary, another friend, and we're going to do the album with her, but we'll probably have Brian come in and, I don't know, at least be a coach or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just a great, he's kind of another collaborating partner. So
when a producer comes in, do they give you direction like, hey, make this a little longer, maybe come up with a different part that go between the verse and the chorus or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I personally, I'm totally open to that. Yeah. I know, I don't know about Nico or other people, but I don't mind. I mean, I don't know. I like outside perspective and collaboration. Yeah. So
I don't.
But I'll just say that because sometimes, I mean, sometimes if it's wrong, I mean, if you're working with a good producer, though, it should be someone that's not bullying you to make you have that decision.
Right.
You can say no, and they okay.
Right.
You know. So I don't mind. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Nico? What's your writing process?
We are three individuals in the band that everybody writes like I think a third of the Liste Noire repertoire. It's very equally written. Each of us brings a song idea, and then we just destroy it and we make a Liste Noire song out of it.
That's awesome.
And then we just keep the roots of it. And we sometimes it's funny because, yeah, because when you bring a song, I mean, it's something very intimate, personal, you're happy about it. And then you come into the rehearsal room and you present it, and then you give away your rights of the song in a way. It's like you do what you want with it.
Right.
It's an interesting process, I must say. You have to let loose.
How long have you guys been doing this together?
The three of us, this piece band, Liste Noire, is like it's almost 2 years, I would say. And before that, Olivier and I, Velvet Condom, we started 2005, something like that. So yeah, we know each other quite well.
That's good. That's good. And where are you guys, when did you release this album, Brace?
We're going to release, the physical release will happen next week.
Oh, okay.
Our label will send us the CDs over to America, our German label.
Yeah.
So I hope it's going to be ready at the Nothing Changes show in New York, Manhattan next week.
Fantastic. So you're, that record isn't out yet. I didn't really get that. Sorry. I thought it was already out, like physically.
Yeah,
it is in Europe?
Digital version is already out.
Oh, okay. But the physical version is coming out.
What
about live? What is the Liste Noire? What do you guys, how do you guys do this? Like, do you have tracks? What do you have?
We have the bass sequences and the drum parts that are pre-recorded.
Right.
And we play all the synth parts, the guitar parts and vocal parts on top.
Okay.
Like quite similar as the Push Mode, actually, I would say.
Right. So,
we're available opening.
Have you, and is this the first time you guys have come to the States?
It's not the first time, but for Liste Noire, it's the very first time, and we are quite happy to be here. To be honest, it's a huge experience. Toured in both territories, Europe and the States, and you know, Europe is a small, comfortable place to tour, and here it's a bit wider, faster, harder,
bigger.
It's more intense, I would say, and but people are more passionate also about it. It's like,
what do you mean here? People are more passionate about it.
People are more passionate. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, it's
because I get the opposite from people that go to Europe to play.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
They're all like, "Oh, the audiences are so much better there. They care so much more about music and everything."
Well, I think I don't want to speak for Nico, but I think what he means is, I would agree with that. People pay attention and are really passionate about music in Europe, but I think that if you can get people here,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. They're real into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think there's a more kind of wider general audience in Europe of people that enjoy music. Like, it's a little more spread out, but the people in the States that are into it are, like, hardcore.
Yeah.
you
definitely.
Know what I mean? It's like, full... Yeah, I think... Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's
okay.
Exactly what I meant. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, another question, Nico. When you grow up in in France and Germany like that, I talk to a lot of British bands that talk about like coming to America. It's like a big thing for them. Like no matter how well they can ever do over there, America is like the thing that they want to conquer.
Sure, for cultural and historical reasons, and it's.
To me about that.
Yeah. Okay. I would say 80% of the bands I've been listening my whole life come from America, and this is music culture is so big here, and this is why it's always exciting for us to discover this and to see it for real. We've played yesterday in Brooklyn, and a couple of streets away from from the venue, it was the area where all the hip hop scene was getting famous in the 80s and 90s. So it's
right.
Yeah, it's so
yeah. I dig it. So you're here, you're getting to be a part of it, like maybe the British bands that came over in like the 60s wanted to see like the Mississippi Delta where all the blues guys came from and stuff.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Do you like Kraftwerk?
Oh, yeah. A lot. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, to be really honest, it's maybe the only German band that really succeeded doing something in German, like pop music in German. It's a big reference. I mean, I'm not intending to sing in German. We do have a couple of songs in German, but I just wanted to say it's a big influence because again, it's pop music, but really, really, really smart pop music, and yeah. This is what I like about it. Yeah. And there's a whole concept behind also, and which I like.
Yeah, I just I guess about maybe 15 years ago, someone like I was talking to someone about Kraftwerk, and I had an idea of what they were, but I didn't really get it. And I remember like Radiohead was starting to get like a lot of, you know, the Kraftwerk name was coming into those early 2000 Radiohead. Reviews and stuff like that, and I was like, I think I know what Kraftwerk is, but I don't know. But a friend of mine made me like a mix CD, and I ended up, you know, getting almost everything they ever made because I was just blown away by their. There's like a weird minimalism to it. There's like this weird, I don't know. There's a lot going on in there.
To me, it feels like it's not referencing. A lot of music is referencing things that's already happened. It feels like this thing that's. Almost just exactly. Is fully formed independent new sound, which is, I mean, even some of the best bands are bands that reference stuff. It's so unusual to see a band where you're like, who's like, where is this even? It's like, it just came from nowhere out of the ether or something like that. Right. That's why it's amazing to listen to.
How hard do you think that is to achieve now as opposed to how easy Kraftwerk had it, so to speak.
Well, I think it would be super hard because it's you're not with the internet and access to information. Like, I mean, even like 10 years ago, I mean, you can look up any band now and see what they sound like or download their album or whatever. And it's so weird. I don't think anything's in a vacuum anymore. I mean, maybe, you know,
no,
it's hard because a lot of the music I like from the 70s and 80s, you know, I love reading about it and wanting to kind of understand, you know, the kind of minds of these people and what they were thinking. And it's almost like it's another world, yeah. You know, with how things are now. So it seems almost impossible to exist. So I actually know the answer to that. And I think about it a lot. Is it even possible for bands to just be able to not have all this access and information to other music to be able to just come out with a fully formed idea that seems not influenced by something? I mean, maybe it's possible. We'll see. I mean, we're definitely a band that's referencing a ton of stuff, so it's not going to be us, but
yeah.
I totally agree with Panther. I try not to be nostalgic too much and thinking like, we will never be able to do the same career as Kraftwerk or David Bowie or Cure or Depeche Mode because it's not happening anymore. There's the resources, the model is not the same anymore. Yeah. But I try to be positive in the way that the technology, the progress today allows us to do music as much as we want and in good quality and we can also spread it all over, I mean, very, very easily. So this is something that was not possible at that time, you know. No. So we have this freedom and we have this access to the people and we have this freedom to create. We can do whatever we want. And no one tells us what to do and how to do it. And the only thing is we are amongst 1 million other people that try to reach out.
It's strange though because, you know, kind of going against what I was maybe just saying, it's funny when you listen to Kraftwerk and maybe, you know, people feel that way or talk about them in that way. Maybe if you were to talk to them, they would be like, no, what are you talking about? We were totally trying to you know, do this other thing. And it's funny, like, you know, like, we were trying to be this other band, or we were trying to have these other sounds, but somehow it came out so different that no one caught it. So who knows, you know, maybe that's, right. That's what was always going on. So, I mean, maybe that's how that happens. So
yeah.
You do a good job of hiatuses or smashing them up to make something new that you get something that sounds independent of it, but I guess we'll see. I guess that's for other people to judge maybe as well.
Right.
Maybe it's too hard for a musician to ever really know what they're doing.
It's funny because that reminds me of a story of like some Beatle documentary where Paul McCartney was talking, you know, the song Please Please Me?
Mm-hmm.
They thought that sounded like Roy Orbison, like they were trying to be Roy Orbison, but it sounded like them, you know what I mean?
Right.
When you listen to it, you hear it, you're like, oh, okay, I get that. But you're like, oh, I would have never gotten it because it goes through the filter of them and then it becomes somewhat original.
Well, that's always the goal. I remember being really young and starting to play music and guitar, and everything just sounded like really like someone else. And I always thought, oh, God, I would love to be in a band that sounds like that band. Like the Beatles is a band that you put it on and they have a fully formed sound. And I think closer you get to that, you're succeeding in walking in the footsteps of your heroes or people you respect.
But see, this is something I like about the postmodern era we live in. Like, everything is allowed. You can pick up in every genre and do your own mix, and you are less categorized than it was still in the 90s, for example.
Yeah,
it's completely open.
Right.
Like when
I was growing up, like if you couldn't really like Ozzy and Hall & Oates,
right?
You know what I mean. But like now you could,
yeah, you could, exactly,
feasibly, you know.
And you wouldn't be judged.
No, not at all. It's like totally normal. Like when I was a kid, it was totally uncool to like something super pop, like a Rick Springfield or something like that. But now that's totally fine. Whatever it is, it just is.
Well, speaking of punk.
What's that?
Oh, can you hear me? Oh, yeah. Sorry, it cut out for a second.
You said speaking of punk?
Oh, so yeah, speaking of punk, that was something that was always a frustration because punk can be very dogmatic.
Yeah.
And you would be like, oh, I love Maneater by Hall & Oates. And that was like shameful.
Yeah.
And it's not so much anymore. I love that saxophone solo. I don't care what anybody says. So.
Oh, it's amazing with the delay. Is that a delay or is that just him repeating himself?
He's just shredding on that thing. I don't know. I just love it. And it's a huge chunk of the song. So, I mean, I'm a sucker for those when they got real heavy on sax solos.
In the 80s?
I don't care. I love them.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Nico, can I ask you a question that is a kind of a timely question? Coming from another country, what does this weird political sort of like cesspool we're living in, what is that like to come to
the
as
world
as a foreigner?
Of course, in Germany and France, like in the whole world is watching to the US direction now. And I guess what's happening in the States is also happening in Europe at some point. You know, we are going, unfortunately, more and more into the right wing. And this is why it's really important to send a strong signal. Because when America sends a signal, it has quite a big influence on the rest of the world. So I hope that the smart people will make the right decision in the end.
That seems right. It seems like when there's a more, like even back to like Reagan and Thatcher times, there was like a wave of conservatism that took over at that time, and then it got more liberal in the 90s and then the early 2000s but Europeans didn't really get into George W. Bush, right?
What do you mean was getting in?
Like you guys weren't behind him. You guys weren't with the George W. Bush.
Oh yeah, we were.
Oh, you were.
Oh yeah. I mean,
let me just say, traveling in Europe.
Yeah.
When Bush was president.
Yeah.
That would be 90% of conversations would be about why he was president, how he could be president, what a poor president he was. I would just interject into this. Is what's interesting to me is that I don't know, like living in the United States, I mean, there's a lot of focus on being Americans and it's our election, but it is very strange to travel around and see how much people are really invested in what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And you know, I think a lot of people know the reasons why, but I'm very surprised how much people are concerned about what we're doing all the time. And not in a condescending way. Like, they are invested in what we're going to do, and they realize we're tied together. And I think sometimes Americans don't realize how much we're tied into the rest of the world.
Right.
Because, I mean, yeah, it's part of our culture and also geographically and historically, but still we are really connected and affect a lot of people in the rest of the world. And it does matter that the president and is an ambassador to the world for us. So
right.
We forget that. That's the face of our country to the rest of the world, and we need a person who can form better sentences than me, anyone else. I want someone 100 times smarter than me, not someone I feel is less smart than me.
Yeah.
So someone qualified anyways, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. I just wondered what it looked like to somebody from the outside, like coming here and just being like, ugh.
It was crazy, and we are scared to death. Every headline every day is about Mr. T. You know, and the thing
I like Mr. T. Dude, that
would be killer if Mr. T. was running for president.
Yeah, I would pity the fool who doesn't vote for him.
So in a way, it's a nice entertainment for us European, but also we are quite scared,
a little frightened.
But I'm saying I've talked to a lot of American friends, and I have the impression that it will go the right way.
Yeah.
Don't
jinx it, buddy.
I don't want to play that fear game.
Right. Are you going to be here on election day?
Yeah, we're going to leave the day of election day. We are going to be at the airport, so it's going to be quite exciting.
So you could be here for the last day of America, potentially. He'll be in the air safely leaving the Purge or some Armageddon that's going on. So, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to leave the Purge.
I'm actually flying to Japan that day, so I will also be leaving that same day.
Are you going there to play, or are you going to...
I'm just going there as a cultural exchange.
Oh,
no,
really?
I've always wanted to go there, so I'm going there.
How long are you going to be there?
2.5 weeks.
Jesus, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, you should be.
Yeah, I wanted to do it my whole life, so...
That's great.
Happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, so both of you guys made great records. Both of your bands are great. I got this music from Mike, right? Lentz?
Yeah.
Lentz. He sent this to me, and I didn't know. I was like, oh, this is going to come up pretty soon. But when I listened to your stuff, I really, really liked it. I think you guys both are doing something really great, and I'm always happy to see people teaming up to conquer places like Europe and America and stuff. Like, that's always a good feeling to know that there's a sense of community going on out there.
Yeah. True. No, to be honest, I love these guys. They're great. They're also really good in the band, which is a big deal. Not just the shows.
Totally. Hang is totally. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I play as well. And I attribute having a career to the fact that I'm not like a fit thrower. And you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm cool. I just think I'm not a freaker. I try not to be a weighty guy in the band.
It's a big deal.
It's huge.
It's a huge deal. So, yeah.
It's totally huge. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people even on this show where they'll say that they would take someone with less talent that was cool than a fucking virtuoso asshole, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But the good thing we are both, actually.
Yeah. Yes. That's
a good thing.
Yeah. Well, it was really nice meeting you guys. People can get out and find Boot Black's List Noir. I will list all the website and stuff in the outro of the show, but you guys will be on tour starting. This will be out on Tuesday, so you will be playing Wednesday, November 2nd in New York City at Nothing Changes. On Friday the 4th in Portland at the High Water Mark. In San Francisco, Saturday the 5th in at the Hemlock Tavern. And on Sunday the 6th, Los Angeles at the Complex.
Yeah. Could I just mention, though, also, sure. if people are interested, the album is completely for free on the website. So I would, and that's because I want people to have it. So if they want to go get it, it's our last album. So
Our album for free, and we give 10 euro for every person who buys the album. Yeah. I just wanted to mention
10?
This.
All right, I'll give $20 to any.
I will send naked pictures of myself on top.
No, but honestly, it is out there, and it is free right now. So go get it. Whatever. I'm just saying.
Everyone do
ours was already.
I'm gonna have the last word. Okay, no, I'm just joking.
They're great records, and you guys are great. I hope that I get to see you guys live at some point, and I'll let you guys know when this posts on Tuesday. And good luck with the tour and everything. And it was really nice to meet you guys.
Thank you, Johnny. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. That is the song South Pole from the album Veins by the band Bootblacks. Go to bootblacks.net, find out all about them. Go to listnoir.tv to find out all about List Noir. We'll be hearing their song Glycerin from their album Brace in just a second. Man, it was great talking to Nico and Panther. Those guys are great. Those guys are absolutely fantastic. I love both of those albums. I went running this morning and kind of made a mix of those two albums yesterday for my drive home from Houston, and I listened to it again when I was running today. So thanks, guys. Thanks for being on the show. I wish them great success on their tour. Don't forget, they'll be playing tomorrow on November 2nd, Tuesday, November 2nd in New York City at Nothing Changes. Friday, November 4th, Portland at the High Water Mark. Saturday, November 5th, San Francisco at the Hemlock Tavern. And Sunday, November 6th, in Los Angeles at the Complex. Get out and see both of those bands, support them. And listen, hey, while you're out there on the internet checking out Bootblacks and List Noir, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher. It's a streaming service, stitcher.com, go to it. It streams over 30,000 shows right to your smartphone or pad. And get involved. You can like our Facebook page, and you can check out our archives on our howdidigethere.podbean.com page by simply looking on the right-hand column. All of our shows, over 500 of them, easily accessible by month and year. Go back and listen to some great conversations with people. All right, I want to thank Panther and Nico for taking the time to Skype with me, and I wish them good luck on their tour. Go to bootblacks.net for all your Bootblacks need. Go to listnoir.tv for all your List Noir needs. All right, we're going to hear a song from List Noir now. This is their song Glycerin from their album Brace. All right, have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Get out there and check out these great bands, and let's get down.